Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What does one Iowa senator think about what's happening in the Ukraine, about the operation of the Senate? Let's go in-depth with Senator Chuck Grassley of New Hartford.
Good morning, Senator Grassley.
Yes, I'm glad to be with you once again. Thank you for having me.
Well, sure. I'd like to start with the Ukraine this morning, if that's okay.
Yes, anything you want to ask me. Maybe I ought to be careful when I say that, but I think I'm safe. Anything you want to ask me.
Well, I tell you, I am just so drawn to this story about what's happening in the Ukraine and its complexity and hard to know what's going on. I'm sure you're watching it attentively as well.
Yeah, right now, if you ask me about it, I'd almost have to limit my comments, unless you have something about the internal politics of Ukraine, to Putin taking over Crimea. If that's what you want to talk about.
Sure. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think it's pretty difficult for the United States to stop him if he wants to. We can make it a little rough for him by economic sanctions. We've already done some of that by freezing accounts and maybe not being able to get visas to the United States for some of the key business people of Russia. You might wonder, what's key business people got to do with what he's doing there? Well, there's a lot of very wealthy people that are in the power structure, may not be elected to office around Putin, and there's a feeling that if we can make life miserable for them from an economic point of view and their personal lifestyle, maybe it'll put some pressure on them. I'm kind of naive if that would happen, but that's the theory behind what's been done so far. You have tonight, I think, Kerry's leaving for a meeting with Lavrov in London, I believe. He's the foreign minister with a package of ideas. I think even our own people that are involved in diplomacy are cynical about what that will accomplish, but. And I determined that from a briefing we had yesterday. I believe that Putin's has made very clear that he wants to reestablish the Soviet Union. He's going to do it probably peacefully and do it by inches, not by miles. He's taken advantage of the fact that our president has been not very consistent in application of policy or interest in what's going on in a lot of other countries, leading from behind, withdrawal from world leadership, creating a vacuum that Putin can fill. And, you know, a lot of people in America are cynical about the United States being too much of a world leader, but and we can't be the world's policeman. We're a little bit war-weary. But the United States has been kind of de facto leader of the free world. And since World War II, I think has kept us out of World War III. It obviously kept us out of Cold War that could become a hot war between World War II and the Soviet Union falling apart, but there's a vacuum there because under this president, he's withdrawn, and he's drawn lines in the sand, and those lines have been crossed, and there were no consequences. So Putin sees our leadership weak, and in turn, the United States weak, and he's going to take advantage of it. So obviously, we're not going to go to military conflict with Russia. And so there's two things to do. One's diplomatic, and the other is economic sanctions. And we're going to try all of them. And the latter will only be successful, and then it's questionable how successful it will be, but only if Europe joins us.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley.
Well, isn't it pretty easy to criticize the president on this? I'm sure I have listeners that are thinking that he's actually shown leadership on the world stage by getting us out of Afghanistan and out of Iraq, and people that think that we spent a lot of years and lives unnecessarily there, and that they're probably, I don't know, I guess that a lot of people are probably grateful that he's taking some time and not engaging directly with Putin.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I said you're not going to see military action. World leadership does not mean that you're shooting up people all the time. What it means is you're going to be militarily strong, so you're considered threatening to somebody that would cross a line, and a president who's willing to say, I think the United States ought to do everything they should to preserve the peace, and that would be in the order of diplomacy, unilaterally, multilaterally, through international organizations. It doesn't imply shooting everything up, or in other words, having boots on the ground. And I think if you go back and look at the years since 1945, you will see that the United States has played a very important role in that, and it has prevented World War III. And I think the withdrawal of leadership, and again, I want to emphasize, diplomatic, economic, having a strong military, not using the strong military, has bring us a peaceful situation since World War II, similar to what Great Britain did as a world leader in the 1800s. So you call that Pax Britannica. And I think the period of time of relative peace since World War II, not having another World War III, could be called Pax Americana.
You can have a different opinion than me on this for sure, but there's been a lot of military engagements that haven't necessarily been peaceful by the United States since Kuwait. There's lots of military engagement people in Afghanistan.
You're right, but there hasn't been a World War III. And I don't know whether there's any distance between you and I on this point, except I think you're interpreting what I'm saying as the United States has to be ready to go to war and use war, and war is always a last resort.
Sure. No, I think that we agree with this. I guess I'm not willing to accept the talking point that Obama has been weak on the world stage. I guess I'll just be honest with that.
No.
I think that the American public is interested in caution after Afghanistan and Iraq.
Well, if you're saying they don't want another Afghanistan and Iraq, I agree with you. But on the other hand, where I would disagree with you is where the president drew a line in the sand in regard to Syria. It was crossed, and he didn't do anything about it. And then there's consequences to world, to American leadership when people like Putin say, well, this guy isn't going to do anything, even when he says that you better not cross this line, then that emboldens somebody like Putin. It wouldn't embolden every leader around the world, and maybe it doesn't affect most of them, but for a guy that says his goal for Russia is to put the Soviet Union back together again, you can see why he would take advantage of it.
Well, I have a Ukrainian acquaintance who just recently left the Ukraine, and she makes a very interesting she has an interesting perspective in that she thinks that the government that we're backing now is an illegitimate government, that the previous government that is now in Russia was elected by the Ukrainian people, and that we are now behind and supporting a group that overthrew an existing democratic government. And I don't know, she makes some very interesting points. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thought is that that's probably true in a very indirect way. I don't think we're doing very much to say that this government is legitimate. We'll wait until the May 25th election, and then they'll have a new president, and we'll have to accept that, whoever gets it, you know. We would only hope that there would be people that have never run Ukraine in the past are elected, you know, like maybe that leader, that person that speaks Russian is a boxer. He's kind of been, I don't know how much of a politician he is, but they say he has a good chance of being elected president. Even the lady that got out of prison, a lot of Ukrainians don't accept her as the next president. She was the one that the present guy that's been deposed defeated. So I would agree for right now, but only through May 25th. We're going to have to accept the judgment of the voters of Ukraine after that.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley.
Well, what else are you working on right now?
Well, I'm going to have a news conference when we're done here because of trade agreements being negotiated Asia. I don't know where they're being negotiated, but it's called the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and we're trying to get our government to be strong to make sure that Japan keeps their promise when we let them in on these negotiations with 10 or 11 other countries, that they would have everything on the table. And now they're trying to take some products off the table, most of them dealing with agriculture. And I'm using the news conference as a way of telling our negotiators, you got to be tough and stand your ground and make sure that the Japanese negotiate the way that their Prime Minister Abe said that they would negotiate if they were let in with the other countries for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is another way of saying a free trade agreement between the United States and probably 10, 11, or 12 other countries over there. I was also involved in the bill that's on the floor of the United States Senate with Senator Landrieu in a bipartisan amendment to do some things for children in foster care when this bill that deals with, I call it the babysitting bill, but it's block grant for states for child care. And then I was most recently you can go to the website and get a speech I gave yesterday condemning how Reid runs the Senate in a way contrary to the intent of the father of our Constitution, James Madison, and I liberally quoted from Federalist Paper 62 that the Senate is not the great deliberative body that was intended by the writers of our Constitution, only because of the way Reid is running the Senate as a one-person dictator.
Don't you think that there just might be an aspect of this to both sides of the aisle while the Senate might not be working, and it's not all Harry Reid?
I think I would agree with you, and I had a chart that I don't doubt if the chart will show up in what you read. But, yeah, some of this started under Leader Frist, a Republican leader, for 4 years. But it's doubled or tripled. The abuse of what we call cloture, stopping filibusters, has been doubled and tripled in the years that Reid has run the Senate.
Well, you know, it was very interesting. I read that press release that you came out with, and I read it, and I'll admit, I read it with great sadness, because I remember when the Senate was a great deliberative body, and we both know it isn't that anymore. That was, whatever the reasons for it being where it is now, it is indeed tragic, as you suggest.
Well, there's hope. This is a partisan comment I'm going to make. There is hope, But it's very clear that if McConnell becomes majority leader, he's going to not abuse the system, or he's going to go back to the original intent of the Senate and make sure that there is debate on bills and opportunities for amendments to be followed before cloture is filed. And he's already made that in a public statement, so voters know how the Senate can be a deliberative body if we get a majority of Republicans, and that will also enhance the strength of the Democrats if they're a minority. Why would we want to do that? Well, if we complain about Reid running the Senate in a dictatorial fashion, then we get to be a majority. We can't run it the same way. Now, that's something maybe 2 years from now you can hold me or McConnell's feet to the fire if we ever get to be in a majority.
But isn't some of Reid's change in procedure due to the use of the filibuster that sort of crippled the Senate?
You've led me to one of the key points that I tried to make yesterday, and that is, and let's go to Congressional Research Service on their definition of a filibuster. In order to have a filibuster, you have to have debate. And then the cloture is meant after a period of time that's gone on so long, file a motion or cloture to shut off debate. But the large number of things that are considered filibusters by you people in the media is whenever Reid files a cloture motion. Well, what he has done so much that you'll read my condemning him for in my speech yesterday is that he brings up a bill and immediately files cloture before there's any debate. So that's the abuse, and that's compromising the deliberative Senate, the deliberation principle of the Senate. So I hope you got to differentiate between people that call a cloture motion being filed before debate happens. That's not to stop a filibuster, because you got to have debate to have a filibuster.
Well, very good. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listening audience?
No, but since I'm with you about once a month, I look forward to being with you again, and I thank you for helping me to communicate with my constituents. And more importantly, we were able to discuss some things that don't get discussed very often, and I'm glad to have the opportunity for clarification, whether it's on America's leadership in the world, or whether it's about the Senate functioning as a deliberative body. Thank you.
Thanks to Senator Chuck Grassley for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.